Okay. Okay, now, there's one. Now, go to the next page of your booklet. This I have here. And I'll show you something nice. Now, I know we're going back. Just one small thing, because we missed it last week. And I thought it was an important one. Last week, we discussed at length about the name, how Moshe Rabbeinu changed Yeshua's name, right? And we said many reasons why he specifically davened for Yeshua and didn't necessarily daven for all the others. So I wanted to show you something nice that the Kli Yakar says. We read one, but we didn't continue, and I want to show you. So it says four continued. You see on that page? The four continued. So what is four continued? So it says like this. Okay, it says, V'yesh Aymrim, Lefishi Yeshua Haya Talmidei. Some people say, why did he daven specially for Yeshua and not for the others? Because some people say, because Yeshua was his student, right? Moshe Rabbeinu's student. Hikpid Olav Shaloyat Yakdiach Tafshiloi. It's an interesting language. Moshe Rabbeinu was more concerned about Yeshua because he didn't want his pot to burn. That's an expression used, like, you know, a balabasta doesn't want what she's making to burn, and then it reflects badly on her. Moshe is the teacher. Yeshua is his prize student. If Yeshua goes off and does the wrong thing, who does it reflect immediately? On Moshe. And that's why Moshe takes a special interest to daven, especially for Yeshua. V'yitlu b'rabbi, it will automatically revert the blame to his teacher. V'yesh aymrim, and this is another one. Lefi shahayom yishevet Yosef, and this is a very interesting one. Yeshua was from which tribe? We know he was from Ephraim, which is the tribe of Yosef. What do we know about Yosef? Shehevi dibas ochiv. Yosef had a little bit of a problem. Yosef was amazing, but one weakness he had, and that's what started his whole unfortunate, all the things that happened after. Sometimes he didn't know, it seems, how to control his mouth 100%. Remember at the beginning, he told Yaakov all the negative things that the brothers were doing? That's what it says, and that's when they started to become jealous and get upset with him. It says, Dibas Achiv, right? He brought all the negative speech about his brothers, Al Kain. So therefore, Hayayare Shalayelech Bederech Ziknai. So Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned, especially for Yeshua. Maybe in the genes, he has that weakness. And he might go in the path of his great-great-grandfather and make the mistake and say something negative about the land. Even though it ended up Yeshua didn't, right? That's because Moshe davened for him. The others, Moshe thought, they don't have that weakness. I don't have to worry. But ended up, maybe he should have worried. But he says an interesting thing, though. It's a fascinating question. As he says, okay, kimitamza lo hisker by lamata Yosef. That's why, actually, interestingly, if you look at it lists all the miraglim, it lists them and it lists their tribe, but it doesn't say lamata Yosef. It says, ubigdi ben susi hisker lamata Yosef. Interesting, mashalai hispalal al gadi ulai, but then it's interesting because there's also Menashe, right? Menashe also has and Moshe doesn't daven for him, and his name is Gadi, he doesn't daven for him. So he says, why? Because Moshe thought, ulai chashav she'im ze sheba mishevet Ephraim hagadol mi Menashe lo yishanes tafkidai. Moshe thought that it's enough for me just to daven for the one that comes from Ephraim, because if I daven for Yeshua who comes from Ephraim, and Ephraim is considered the more important of the two, even though he was technically younger, but you remember Yaakov put the right hand on Ephraim, so he became the Bechor, like sort of. So Moshe thought, if I daven for Ephraim, Menashe will learn from Ephraim. I don't have to daven for Menashe's child. I'll just daven for Ephraim's. And then Menashe's will also be safe. He won't change his job. He'll do the job properly. Mistamek amakotan mimeni lo yedaber kenegda. He won't speak negatively. Ukfar noida mi berchas shel Yaakov ki shom loichayik lahakdim es Ephraim, right? That's what Yaakov did. He put Ephraim first. L'chol davar shepegdusha, in all matters of holiness. Or, and also interesting, another very fascinating thing, what's Menashe's name? Menashe's name is Menashe, which comes from that Yosef named him Menashe because Ki Nashani Elekim, Hashem has made me forget the house of my father. Well, unfortunately, it was in a way to remind him about the house of his father, but it was because of the separation for so many years that Yosef was like, it's like a pain, you know, he's in pain, that I'm so separated that I almost forget the house of my father, and I'm so apart from the rest of my family. That's what he names his first child. You can see his pain. But what that means is that Menashe had within him a certain unique attribute that he's his own individual. He's not, in a sense, he doesn't learn from his father, right? Forget the house of his father. So maybe Moshe thought, he's not going to learn from Yosef. I don't have to specially daven for Menashe's son. Anyway, it's just a very cute, interesting one, because we mentioned that I just wanted to finish with that one. Okay, now we're going to come to a very important pasuk that, I'm going to see where we should look first for the pasuk. Okay, maybe I wonder if you can look into this one or no. Okay. Yeah, okay, so you know what? Even if you go to the next page of the sheets that you have in front of you, so you don't have to, you don't have to swap booklets. The next page, which looks like this. It says on the top of it, it says a resh chav vav. Do you see? It's just missing one word there, but it's fine. Do you see? It's like this, resh chav vav. It has like this, the first word on the page is ha'aretz. We've read this pasuk, but I just want to read it again quickly. Actually, the first word of the pasuk is Uma Ha'aretz. This is still the instruction. I'm repeating the pasuk because we're going to talk something very interesting about this pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them what to look for, and he says, Uma Ha'aretz, what is the land? As we said, Hashmeinahi, is it a fat land? Imraza, is it like a land of lean land, which doesn't have a lot? Hayesh ba eitz im ayin. Remember, we mentioned this, and this is what we have to, what we're going to develop now. Does it have a tree or not? And then he says, v'hischazaktem, and you should strengthen yourselves, ulekachtem mipri haaretz, and take from the fruits of the land, v'hayomim yimei bikurei anavim, and the days were the days of the ripening of the grapes. That's like setting the scene for when they're about to enter the land. That was the season that they were going in. Okay, but we have to understand this word, Hayesh Ba Eitz. Okay, so some of this, most of this we'll do orally, and I'll just one commentary we'll do inside. But before we do the Kliyakar and the Rashi, I want to just tell you something interesting. There's a lot of questions on this. Hayesh Ba Eitz. The first question, what does he mean, is there trees? What were they already told to do? Do you remember? They're going to what? What are they going to bring back? Fruits, right? They were told to bring back fruits. Yeah, exactly. Now, can there be fruits if there's no tree? I mean, what's going on? Of course there's trees. Obviously, they're bringing back fruits. And also, what's he saying? Hayesh ba eitz, is there one tree? There's lots of trees, obviously. What kind of country has one tree? Doesn't make sense. Something strange. So this obviously is not just a simple tree, right? That's what we must say. There must be meaning. It must be alluding to something much deeper than just a tree.
There were olive trees.
Olive trees? And what's with olive trees? They
lost forever.
Ever. They need a pear though, right? To give the olives. Okay. So it's an interesting thing. It says like this. Hayesh ba eitz. Okay, we'll see in a minute the Rashi. But Rashi gives us a deeper answer. But before we go into the deeper answer, the Arach Haim HaKadosh says something very fascinating, just on a simple level. He says, Hayesh ba eitz. He says, Perish Shein Hamin. What Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is, I want you to look out for all of the different types of trees. Is there every type of tree, whatever, cedar trees, oak trees, whatever kind of trees that you could imagine? Why? Why should you concentrate and see all the different types of trees? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, remember, he kept on promising them, you're going to enter an amazing land, land of Israel. What is it? It's a land which contains the good of everywhere, like the best of the best. So which kind of country contains the best of the best? A country which has a variety of trees. So he wants them to concentrate and see, does it cover eights in the singular, at least one of each species? The idea being to show them, because Moshe Rabbeinu felt obviously knew that it did, to show them that they should marvel at the amazing land that Hashem is giving them. They should be excited. Wow, look at the bounty, look at what's there. That's just a simple way. There's another fascinating thing that the Al-Sheikh says, and unfortunately we can relate to it, as we said often. This is the beginning of the history of the Jewish people. And here they are about to enter a land. Who lives in the land? Seven nations. These nations don't like the Jews. It's familiar. They're not, obviously they're scared, because they know the Jewish people are coming to conquer the land, but they're not happy. So what do they do? It's interesting. Not only do they protect themselves, that would be the normal thing, but deeper than that, they do something else. They try very hard to make sure that if the Jewish people do come into the land, they shouldn't benefit from it, right? If we're not going to have it, for sure they shouldn't, right? So what do? They cut down almost all the trees. They destroy it. It's typical, right? As we said, remember we mentioned about hiding their treasures, hiding their money, so the Jews shouldn't find it. And here, they actually, according to the Al-Sheikh, they cut down a lot of the trees. And that's actually a terrible thing to do, because trees take a long time to grow. So even if the Jewish people will come in, it will be so hard for them. And that's what, so what does Moshe Rabbeinu say to them? Interesting. It sounds like a terrible thing, and it is a terrible thing, because they meant bad. But there's something good in it. What does that mean? Hayesh ba'etz. Is there at least one tree? What does that mean, one tree? It means that there's not many trees. There's only one, which means a few, very few. What does that show? If you see that there are very few trees, it shows that the people are actually convinced that you are taking over. Because if they thought they're going to win the war, they're not cutting off their trees. That should inspire you that you shouldn't be afraid. They are more afraid of you than you should be afraid of them. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hayesh ba'et. Look for the good in it. In other words, it shows that these people are actually very afraid of you, and that's why they're cutting down their trees. That's why there's only one tree, so to speak, very few. It's a very nice way of understanding that. Again, because as we know, the main problem over here was the fear, as we know, that anxiety that we won't be able, you know, we won't be able to take it over. As we know in life, that's the thing that cripples us the most. It's not the actual thing that we're gonna face. It's more the fear, the anxiety before, and we don't, therefore, we sometimes we give up before we even try. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu points that out. Okay, then, let's see. Okay, I want to just show you, the Rashi actually says, and this is a very interesting thing, Hayesh Ba'et, let me just see if I could find the Rashi inside, in the sheet that I told, let me see where we are, here. Okay, so look into the Rashi, Hayesh Ba'et, I know you have it there, I know it's not the art scroll, it is also in there, but it says, the Rashi tells us, obviously it can't be a tree. Because we're already told to bring fruits. They've already been told to see if the land is a fat land, if things are growing. So this is not just a simple tree. This must be meaning something more. What does it mean? Im yesh bahem adam kosher. Is there a kosher person? You know, we say, kia adam eitz hasadeh. Man is compared to the trees of the land. So we're not talking about a tree physically, we're talking about a tree which will protect it. You know what a tree does? A tree provides fruits and a tree provides shade. So too, somebody who's a righteous person, you know, you go near them, they provide shade, protection for you, as well as they give off fruit, they teach, right? Then they are the ones that we can learn how to behave, how to do, what to do. So therefore, he says, is there a person, a kosher person, sheyagin aleihem bischusay, that will protect them in his merit? And what's the idea of that? This is an interesting thing. This is actually fascinating, because what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them was, if there is a kosher person, then there's what to worry. Okay, up until now we're talking about what not to worry. This is taka a worry. This is the one concern that you should yes have. That's a valid concern. Because if there is one righteous person, you never know. It could be that in his merit, Hashem will protect the others, even though they are not so positive. And then what happens is we are told, and we'll see now in a minute, well, I'm going to look into the Kuyakar, when they go in, the one righteous person actually just died. And that's what Moshe wanted them to see. Don't worry, nobody's there, nobody's left to protect them. But before we go into the Kuyakar, I want to just see one or two other beautiful ideas about this. Okay, let's see. Okay, so now that we said the eight is the tree person. Sorry, I just want to make sure. Okay, now just before we do the kliyakar inside, what we realize here is this is the last of the things Moshe asks them to look for. Why? Because it's a build-up. Everything he's asking them is a build-up. So up until now he says, are they living in fortified cities? Are they strong? Do they have water? Do they have, you know... And all these things make a difference, but they don't really make a difference because we know, as Moshe Rabbeinu kept telling them, that Hashem will provide protection and Hashem is the one who's going to fight for you. So even if they are living in fortified cities and even if they are strong, you have nothing to be concerned about. But he leads up to this last one. This is the last thing that he says, right? That's the, because then it tells us which season and then it says they're going up. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu says, there's only one thing that maybe you have to be concerned about. Is there an eitz? Is there a good person in the land? That's the one you have to concentrate the most on. So you can see that it builds up towards that one. So what I'd like you to do is look on the bottom of your page that you have in front of you, and that has the kliyakar, that has a number, I think a number 8 next to it, right? Is that right? Almost sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, a number 8. Because the Kliyakar says it very nicely. What does this mean? Hayesh ba'etz. Okay, show you here. Yes, Hayesh ba'etz. So he says like there's a number 8. Okay, so he quotes the Rashi, Darsha Razalim, Yesham Adam, Kasha Shiyagan Aleim, Ke'etze, Ha'aisa Tzel, Umagin Al Kol, Hamistaytef Bitzila. Right? So is there a person who is so righteous? Like a tree, and what does a tree do? We know it provides shade for those who want to go and be protected by the tree, those who go into the shadow of the tree underneath the shade. And that's why later on we didn't read that pasuk yet. It actually says, this is fascinating, what did they find? Moshe Rabbeinu asks them to look because he knows what they're going to find. They find sar tzilam me'alehem. The shade has been removed from them. Why? Shekfar meis iyov. Who was the one righteous one who was still living there in Eretz Canaan? Somebody we know, a famous person called Iyov. Joab Banner, I used to pronounce it in English, but he's a righteous man. He suffered a lot, but he's a righteous man. And in his merit, had he still been alive, you would have had what to be concerned about. We find that, we didn't read it yet, that what the Meraglim say when they come back is, as we know, they give an interesting report. They do talk about the beauty and the specialness of the land, but they say also something interesting. They say that it's a land that buries its inhabitants. Why? Because when they went, Eov died, and they saw everybody mourning. So the whole country was in a state of mourning. And it seems to be that when Eov died, also many other people passed away. And it looked like a country that people were dying. So this is a terrible country to go into. This is not a healthy country. Hashem did it actually. Really? He was doing them a massive favor, it says. Because what Hashem wanted was, A, Eov shouldn't be alive. But B, more than that. If the people are busy burying their inhabitants, what are they not busy looking at? Them, the spies. They won't notice them. And that's what Hashem wanted, to protect them. But they didn't look at it that way. They just saw the negative, as we know, unfortunately. It depends what you're looking for. So here, let's see how he says. What does Eov have to do? So he says like this. Remez ledavar tzilam. So the hint to it is tzilam, the shade. And how do we know sar tzilam, that Hashem removed their shade? Oile lemispar eight. Actually, is the same numerical value as eights, which is a tree. V'yesh aymrim eitze utz, v'hu Eov shahaya me'eretz utz. Maybe we shouldn't read it eitz. Moshe Rabbeinu says, hayesh ba eitz, is there a tree? Rather, utz, is the utz person there? Who's the utz person? Like, you know how you say sometimes where a person's from, you call them by that. You know, you say is, I don't know, the whatever here, the Sydney person here. So the utz person is Eov, because he lived in a place, or he was from a place called Utz. And he gives a very interesting thing. He says, V'al derech hanister. So if you look at it in a more deeper way, Amar hayesh ba eitz im ayin. Is there a tree or not? Doimel l'masha amru Yisrael, similar to what the Jewish people said, hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu im ayin. Is God amongst us or not? when they were very worried, and they shouldn't have said that. The truth is, what does it mean when the Jewish people said, is God amongst us or not? Do you think the Jewish people didn't know God was there? After all they experienced, of course they knew. They believed in God, there's no question. But what were they in doubt? They knew there was a God. They didn't say, is there a God or not? What did they say? Aval hayu misupakim. What were they in doubt? Im hu bikirbam. Is he amongst us? Is God with us? Umashgiach aleihem, on the top of the second column. Is he supervising us? Oy im mosram tachas memsheles hamarocha. Or did he perhaps decide that he's going to put us into the natural order where we go according to nature like the whole world, and he's not going to give us extra supervision? That's what they were concerned about. Kach ratzam Moshe, so Moshe Rabbeinu also wanted lachkar for them and for himself even to actually investigate im ha'aretz ahi yesheves b'tzel shaddai. The Eretz Asher Eine Hashem Dairish Aisa Tamid, we were just told two parashiyos ago. Is this, what kind of a land is this? Does this land live in the shadow of God? Is it a land that Hashem supervises it constantly, that Hashem seeks and specially looks after it? Or is it like all other countries, just natural, everything working naturally? And how does Moshe Rabbeinu tell them to look for that? Veremez b'milas eitz. He uses the word eight as a hint, litzel shaddai, for the shade of Hashem. Why? How? V'shem shel arba, because the name of Hashem, of that we call four, which means the yud ke vav ke name, yud he and vav he, ramuz b'milas eitz. Could you believe it? That is hinted in the word eight. How? Okay, so he says Ketzad. So yud he is the first part of the name. What do? You say yud pa'amim he. 10 times 5, yud pa'amim hei, 10 times 5, and then 5 times 10. What do you get? 50 and 50, which is 100. Okay, that's kuf. Vav and hei, which is the second two letters, so 6 times 5, and then 5 times 6 will give you 60. Sach hakol, the number comes to 160, which is the same as eights. Eights is 160. In other words, eights and yudke vavke, well, obviously you have to do a bit of a twist with it, but when you multiply, as the Kliyakar says, the point is that eights over here is referring to God. Hayesh eights. Is there a tree there? A tree means the one God. Of course he's there, but is he looking at it special? Does he have a special interest in this land? And we know that he does. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wants them to notice. How can they notice it? As we said, if they would have looked at all the things that happened to them when they entered the land of Israel with the right glasses, not with the wrong glasses, right? They have to look properly and look for the good, not look for all the negativity. See that people are dying so that they shouldn't be noticed. See, and then look beneath the surface. Then they would see that God is really active there and that he's taking a special interest. And then they would have come back with a whole different report. As he says, and it's also the same gematria as tzilam, as we say, the shade, the same gematria, 160. V'zehu shenemar sar tzilam me'aleim. That's what it says, that they removed their shade. The ozvam lemikrim, Hashem has left them to, in, you know, coincidence. V'Hashem itanu shemreinu v'tzileinu. Really, what were they saying? Really, what really happened was Hashem removed his special protection from the inhabitants of the land at that time, who were the Knanim. But the land itself, no, that Hashem still supervises, because he's waiting for the Jews to come in. They're the ones who get the special protection, not the other inhabitants. That's why it says, me'aleihem, not from the land. Hashem didn't remove it from the land. He removes it from the people who are living on the land now. They don't need special protection. They don't deserve it. Aval ha'aretz mitzad atzma, eretz asher eine Hashem dayrei sheisa. And then he says something very beautiful also. Remember, because the end of the pasuk said, we're going to come back to eight for a few more nice things, but it says it was the season of the harvest of the grapes. What does that mean? So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu told them specifically that they should strengthen themselves and they should take from the fruits of the land. Why? Because it's the time of the harvesting of the grapes. And he says, what happens when you're harvesting? V'haba'alim makpidim al halakicha. Because at the time when people are harvesting their crops, that's the time when they're most supervising and they worry if somebody should take, because that's what they're doing. So therefore, that's why it has to say they have to strengthen yourself and be able to take, even though that's the time when people might notice more that you're taking from the grapes of the land. But still, you can do it because you're commanded, you know, because Hashem is protecting you. But then he says an interesting thing. V'hoyu la'anoshim ki Hashem imochem. Be people, like strong people, because Hashem is with you. But then he says, what's the clue? Why specifically highlighting grapes? Because the Jewish people, nimshalu la'anovim, right? The Jewish people are actually compared to grapes. It says, ka'anovim ba'midbar matzosi Yisrael. It says in the prophets in Hosea that just like grapes in the desert, I have found the Jewish people. Ube Medrash, it says, Hivshilu eshkalaiseh anovim, that I have sort of cooked, I've made them into like these clusters of grapes. V'higiyaz manam shel Yisrael, it has come tak at the time for the Jewish people that they should be redeemed. What does that mean? It's the harvest time of the grapes. He gives manam the come the time that they should enter the land, because now they've already been well cooked. In other words, they're ready, right? The Jewish people are. It's their time. It's they're ripened. They're ripened now. Now they can enter the land. They're complete. Why? Because they've received the Torah. So a beautiful thing also that it says, this concept is the idea of Bikurim. It says the word Bikurim. Because really what should have happened, had they given a good report, they could have gone into Eretz Yisrael. They could have actually taken those fruits that they had brought as Bikurim. And that would have been the ultimate mitzvah that would have helped them to be redeemed. Why? Why Bikurim highlighted? Because it's exactly the opposite of what they're doing. Bikurim is the mitzvah which comes to teach us gratitude. That's what the mitzvah Bikurim is. The first fruits you notice and you take it to God. And these people are the most ungrateful people of all. Here we have a nation that Hashem has done so many miracles and about to take them into this incredible land. And instead of noticing how incredible it is, everything they notice in the negative. That's the height of ingratitude, right? So here we say, what really Hashem wanted was Bikurim. He wanted them to be sensitive and highlighting to them this midah of gratitude. And this is a very big thing that unfortunately the Meraglim failed in. Okay, before we go further inside, I just want to share a few other very nice things, if I can find very beautiful ideas that were brought from different commentaries about this concept of eights, as we say. Okay, so he says like this. So now something fascinating comes out from this, because we mentioned that this eitz could have been Eiv or whoever, one righteous person. And what it seems to be implying is that because of one righteous person, even though the other people are so wicked, the Jewish people might not have been able to conquer the land. In other words, the people are protected in the merit of one righteous person. Now, we know the truth is that there's a whole concept that you need more than one, right? Remember, Avram said 10, right? And even with the Mabul, we needed, because only 8 of them, so Hashem didn't save the world. What is this one? So there's different kinds of righteous people. So we say an interesting thing, that over here we're talking about a person, obviously, who is so righteous, because it is possible that you can have one extra special righteous person, that in his merit, takin, not just righteous, meaning that he does most things right, but really righteous, and in that merit, you can actually save a whole country. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was showing them. It's a very deep lesson. In a second, we'll see. I just want to see, there's a few other beautiful ideas. Let's see. Oh, because the truth is that what is a real righteous person also? A real righteous person, that's why it also says Hayesh Ba'etz, why it's comparing him to a tree. Because what does a tree do? What's the purpose of a tree? To provide and to ensure that there are fruits. How do you know if somebody is truly righteous? So you look at the fruits. If the fruits are good, the person was righteous. Now, that doesn't mean, sometimes people say that means that your children, but more than children have their mind of their own, so children don't necessarily reflect the parents. We're talking about a teacher. If somebody is teaching and somebody's an influencer and they're not producing the right fruits, there's something lacking in that person. That's what it says. He's not a perfect tzaddik. He could be a good tzaddik, but not the perfect one. Because if he was, he would produce good fruits. A healthy tree produces good fruits. So here we see that how that's why he compares dafke to a tree, as we say. And then he says, let me just see, because it's very beautiful. There was two beautiful ideas I don't want to miss. Just a fascinating thing that comes. Again, it's the same idea, but just what we can draw from here is something quite amazing. That even though the Jewish people had tremendous tzaddikim with them, Moshe and Aaron, but nevertheless, if there would be one righteous person in Eretz Yisrael at the time, it would be much more challenging for them to conquer the country. What that means is, and this is what we have to really translate, what that means is that we have to be incredible. It's amazing. We have to be so mindful of the fact that each and every one of us has such amazing potential to provide protection for people around us. That's what he's showing. That's the lesson from it. Okay, maybe we are not going to be perfect tzaddikim, and we won't protect the whole country, but nevertheless, we provide shade for those around us. We can, if we choose to. And this is the responsibility, and that's why it's highlighted. Hayesh ba'etz. Is there a tree? We can be a tree. That's what we have to choose to be. And when we are a tree, it's not just that we are ensuring good for ourselves, much more than that. We ensure good for the people around us. I think it's also a very powerful lesson for the month of Elul. Sometimes people are like, oh, I can't be bothered so many years. Who wants to change? Who wants to reflect? But we have a big responsibility, because when we change for the good, when we even improve a little bit, right? What we have to realize is that it's not just that we're ensuring that we should have a good year, but it's ensuring that our families, that the people around us also benefit. And that's a big thing. That's what it shows us. So it's also a very tremendous, big responsibility. There was one other very, very nice idea. I want to see if I can find it. I'll read you some. This is actually taken from the Noyem Elimelech, and I'll read you some. It's just a translation from the Noyem Elimelech, very beautiful, from Elimelech of Lizensk. Very beautiful. He says like this: how does the tzaddik nullify and abolish decrees? Because what we show over here is that the tzaddik has the power to protect the people from something that perhaps they deserve, something negative. And instead, because there's a tzaddik there, it's going to change everything and they will be protected. So he says, how does the tzaddik nullify and abolish decrees and draw down blessings? It is all through the Holy Torah, to which he is constantly adding new and novel interpretation. So let's see, he says like this. What does that mean? A tzaddik, he says, can walk amongst... It's very interesting. He says, it compares a tzaddik to a malach, an angel. We know that a tzaddik is greater than an angel, because an angel cannot really annul decrees, but a tzaddik can annul decrees. And why is that? And a very beautiful thing, because the Zohar explains, you know, in Torah we have two parts. We have the written Torah, and then we have what we call Torah Sheba'al Peh, which is the oral Torah. But what does the word Sheba'al Peh mean? The word Peh is mouth, right? When you have a tzaddik who truly lives Torah, what does it mean he lives Torah? It means that he is a master over his mouth, right? That's what it means. As we know, that's the hardest thing to be. But really, he does it in a positive way, because what does he use his mouth for? For Torah. So then obviously he doesn't have time to say anything else, right? If you're filling your mouth with good things, a mouth only does one thing at a time. That's the best way to protect ourselves. Fill it with positivity and with good things, so there's negative won't come out. But the tzaddik is filled, his mouth is filled with good, and therefore he is a master over his mouth. Now what happens? So we say, because he's a master over his mouth, so he says like this, the tzaddik has the power, he says, to change with his mouth anything that was supposed to be negative into something positive. And the Naim Adlai Melech brings that other other great Chassidic Rebbe is also bring a very interesting example. I'll show you something beautiful brought in the name of the Magid of Kashin. It's beautiful, beautiful example. It says like this, that tzaddikim, we know sometimes we go to a grave of a tzaddik or a tzaddik davens for us, if we have the privilege, the merit for such a thing. What does a tzaddik do? So a tzaddik is a very interesting thing. He does not just hear the how he brings in the ayin, sorry. Oh, yeah, because as we said, a tzaddik learns Torah. Torah, we say, is this. It says, shivim panim la Torah. There are 70 faces. What that means is that Torah can be explained in so many different ways. That's why we know there's so many different opinions, so many different ways of doing things, as we know. Nevertheless, it's one Torah, but there are 70 aspects to the Torah. In Hebrew, 70 is ayin, right? What does a tzaddik do? It says like this. What's the ayin? Ayin is I. But ayin is also a letter, right? So what is the letter ayin? If God forbid, and as we know, we're coming to Rosh Hashanah, and the one that always, the emotional davening is always when we're saying unesana teikif, and we know Hashem is deciding for us that we should have a good year, and we keep on asking for a year of chayim, of life. What is the word, the opposite word to life in Hebrew is mavis, mem, vav, tof. So God forbid, if it's been decreed, and it says in the book, the person, that he's going to have Moves, Mem Vav Tov. What does the tzaddik do? The tzaddik who lives his whole life because he's a master over his mouth and he's learning Torah. So he is a master over the 70 aspects of Torah. He takes that ayin and he inserts it into the word. So now he changes what Hashem wrote. Hashem wrote Mem Vav Tov. And he says, no, 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 it's not going to be mem vav tuf. It's going to be mem vav ayin tuf. Actually, I think it's mem ayin vav tuf. What is mem ayin vav tuf? Not such a common word that you might know, but it's an Arab. I think it's Hebrew also. Ma'ais. Ma'ais means money. As the tzaddik says, forget it. This guy's not going to die. This guy's going to become wealthy. I'm going to make sure. And what do we mean by wealthy? We don't just mean physically wealthy. We mean I'm going to make sure that he has the opportunities, all that he needs, so that he can change his direction in his life. How does the tzaddik have that power? Because he's the master over Torah. So he takes his mastery, and he doesn't just worry about himself. He takes his ayin, and also it's his good eye, that he looks at everything with a good eye, and he inserts it into everybody's negative, negative sentencing, and he changes, God forbid, anything negative to the opposite, to the positive. That's what the tzaddik does. That's what the eitz can do. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. See, is there an eitz or not? And if there's an eitz, you got to worry. If there isn't an eitz, you have nothing to worry. But obviously for us, what that means is, when there's an eight, we don't have to worry because we can rely, but we can rely only when we actually try ourselves. And really the point is that we should all become eights ourselves. That's what the idea is. That we have to work on ourselves to actually, as we say, see things in the right way, to have the ayin toiva, to be the tzaddik, the master over our mouths, to actually look at things differently and to understand, and this is the hardest thing, that we actually have tremendous power as an individual. That's why it says it in the singular. It doesn't say eitzim, it says eitz. And each and every one of us can provide, and who knows if Hashem is relying on us to be the one to provide the shade for those around us. So that's what the pasuk is saying. It's quite a powerful concept in just one pasuk. See, and I want to show you one beautiful, this I'd never seen before, a beautiful, beautiful idea that Rabbi Biederman, he's very famous in Israel. He has very nice things, and he says something very powerful. You know, we always grow up with this medrash, I don't know if it's a medrash or what it is, about the concept of the 36, the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim, right? Every generation has 36 hidden tzaddikim, and it is in their merit that the world is able to exist. We don't know who they are, but every generation has to have at least 36 hidden tzaddikim. So he says something absolutely amazing. And actually he brings it from the Tzanzer, I see. Okay, so he says like this, that we think it means that there's 36 tzaddikim, you know, that are alive, and they are like, so like as long as they're alive, they're considered the 36 tzaddikim, so one of them. He says, no, it doesn't work like that. He says, Ella, b'chol sha'a v'sha'a, every single hour, mishtanim halamed vav tzadikim. These 36 change. What does that mean? Ki beregazeh, at this moment, ka'asher his gaber ploini al yitzray. When a person, and this is such a powerful thing, overcomes his yetzahara, and that could be with anything. It could be with our mouths. So when we control ourselves from doing something that we want to do that's not right, and instead we make the right choice and we do something that's right, it's not an easy thing, but anytime an individual does that, he says, Zacha b'schar zeh, he merits in, like, as a reward for this, l'hischashev bein lamed vav tzadikim. He becomes, for that hour, that one of those 36 tzaddikim in whose merit the whole world is being protected. And he says, "Berega echad asa almayni mitzvah kedayla v'naylus v'alkei nichnasu l'minyan zeh." So this so-and-so does this mitzvah that was difficult for them. We're talking about things that are a little bit challenging for us. And you become part of that number of that 36. And it is in your merit because you made that right decision to do that difficult thing. And you become counted as the one that Hashem is protecting the world. And that's why he says, V'lochein tzorech liskor ba'eis ha'nisoin. So that every person should always remember at the time that they're being tested, right? When you're facing the challenge of the choice, what should I do? The right thing or the easier thing? Whatever. So not so simple. He says, "She's damnus he," that this is an opportunity. That you have the opportunity to be considered one of the tzaddikim, that the world is depending on you. So every time you have a decision to make about what to do, realize the whole world is depending on you to make the right choice. The truth is, this is not the first time I'm just thinking now, we know this is a famous concept. The Rambam says it very clearly. He says, every moment a person has to look at the world, I'm talking about the month of Elul and Tishrei, as a scale, right? It's a scale. But the scale is like perfect, you know, it's even. The next thing you're with the good and the negative, right? So what's going to be the fate of the world? You, every decision you make, if you what next thought, the next speech, the next action that you do, that's what's going to tip the scale to either the good or the bad. That's how a person's meant to live their life, to view every single thing we do as we are the ones who are going to tip that scale. That's what the Rambam says. So this is, you know, very clear halacha in a way. Not easy. We're not saying it's easy, but even a little bit when we do so. This is the idea over here, Hayesh Ba'etz. It's a message for us. Are we going to be that tree upon which others can rely for shade and for good fruits and want to be near us and provide protection for the people around us? It's such an amazing thing. Absolutely beautiful. I think especially such a beautiful message, especially now in the month of Elul. That's what, yeah, it's a good time to reflect on this. Okay, I think we've done quite a bit of this beautiful concept. I'm sure there's more, but we'll leave that there. Okay, maybe we can even stop now. The truth is, I know it's only 20 past. Maybe we'll stop because next time, what we're going to do next time is we're going to see how they actually go into the land. That's the harsh part, because then we see what they do with everything. So Moshe, in the meantime, has given them all the instruction, and he's actually given them the strength, but free choice is ultimately in the hands of man. So we'll see what they choose and what report they come back with. And Mirtz Hashem, next week, we'll continue and we'll learn that.